Last few weeks, we've been looking at what do you see. Next couple of weeks, we're looking at what do you hear. And I looked all over Google for some decent pictures of ears, like I had one of eyes. I didn't like any of the pictures of ears I saw. And so I thought the jackrabbit had the best ears I saw, so I used the jackrabbit for the ears. What do you hear? There's noise all around us. Even the cheapest cars have fancy sound systems. There are loudspeakers everywhere. One day I was here at the church by myself, and I wanted to see how the sound system here would do when there's nobody in the room. Somebody from the clinic came over and asked me if I could turn it down. I'm glad it wasn't somebody from across the street, but they could have heard it. What do we hear? It's interesting how many people walk around with earbuds and Bluetooths in their ears. You'll see them at the store sometimes. It looks like they're carrying on a conversation with themselves. Used to, you always wondered about the people that talk to themselves all the time. And now they're just on Bluetooth talking to somebody else. What do we hear? I'm going to look towards the very end of the Bible in Revelation 22. And we're going to hear a caution from God, making sure we hear something that's important to God. Revelation chapter 22, the first seven verses. If you go all the way to concordance, you've gone too far. You need to go back a bit. Revelation 22. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There'll no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Hearing the words of the prophecy of the book. This is the Apostle John describing what he saw as God unveiled heaven before him. And it is certainly a type of figurative language. It's imaginative. It's visual. And John's doing the best he can to put down in words what he is seeing in his mind's eye. He says, I see a river and a tree. It's the river of the water of life. Like when Adam was shaped and formed out of the dust of the ground and God breathed into him the breath of life, the river's a whole flowing river full of it. And it says it's clear as crystal. Got a source, it's got an origination point, it's coming from the throne. And the Lamb that's at the throne. From Jesus himself flows the water of life. And it's not just a trickle. It's a flowing river. Then it says it's flowing in the middle of the street. And I thought, hey, how about that? In Sahuarita, during monsoon season, we have heaven practice. Water flowing down the middle of the street. Across the street, over the street, through the washes. Then he says this tree produces 12 kinds of fruit, one a month for a year. In other words, different yield each month. I think my favorite would be peach month. Maybe grape month would earn a second, close second. Okay. I don't know anybody that would enjoy persimmon month. But can you imagine the beauty of a tree that blooms and produces fruit all year long? And it says the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Then he says, there's no longer any curse. It's all blessings. You know, a curse was often what someone said to someone. Some derogatory comment that someone made, talking about the way we were cursed. I got glasses when I was 7 years old. And I remember some of the kids were kind of cruel about glasses, because that was back in the day before glasses were cool. Glasses were black and horn-rimmed back in the day. Some of y'all remember what I'm talking about. And they were kind of ugly. I was so pleased when I got to high school and could actually get wireframe glasses that actually looked halfway decent. But there's a curse of not being able to see well. But in heaven, there's no curse. There's just blessings. There's a curse of ill health and deformities. But in heaven, there's no curses. There's just blessings. There's a curse of being messed over by the past. But in heaven, there's no curse. There's just blessings. And we're standing there, and we're standing on the banks of the river of life and looking at the tree that's blooming and producing fruit all year long. And then it says, we will see His face. We will see His face. We will see the actual face of the resurrected Jesus. The amount of beauty will overwhelm us. And then God does something different. God undoes what He did in Genesis chapter 1. Remember what He did in Genesis chapter 1? He said He separated the light from the darkness, and He called the light day and the darkness night. But in heaven, there's no more darkness. He just kind of kicks it out of the whole universe. And we don't need the sun anymore because we've got Jesus. And He provides the light for everything we need. Can you imagine poor old man John in his 90s in exile on the island of Patmos, and God is showing him all this beautiful, wonderful, amazing things, and he's writing it all down, and then going to bed next to his cold campfire with limited food, hoping he gets enough to make it for a few more days. And the contrast between what he felt and what he touched with his hands and what he saw in his mind as God unveiled heaven to him. How beautiful heaven is. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. I may not want to go on the next flight, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. No curses, no blessings. And to see Jesus. Then he talks about the faithful and true words. He says, the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Now there's a little caveat here. God's definition of soon and my definition of soon are two completely, entirely different definitions. Okay, I hope lunch is soon. Okay? Apparently there's a game this afternoon. And the last 2 minutes of the game will take an hour and a half to produce. Okay, because there's a different definition of soon in the last 2 minutes of the game from the first 2 minutes. God's definition of soon is different from my definition of soon. But he says, he shows his bondservants those things which must soon take place. Somebody argue with God about his whole time schedule thing. God says, hey, to me, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. A thousand years ago, Charlemagne was marching through Europe on horses. God sees that as a day. Okay, that's exciting. God's definition soon is a little different from mine. His has more of a sense of imminent before we can change anything else. And then he says, I am coming quickly. He said these are faithful and true words, the things that must soon take place, that he is coming. Do you believe you have an appointment with Jesus? You ever had a court date? If you've ever had a court date, you'd best not just blow it off, especially if you're subpoenaed. Because what happens if you have a court date and you're subpoenaed and you just blow it off? These very large men with very tight bracelets will come and get you. And they will bring you before the judge because you had an appointment. They had an appointment. He says, with God, that he's coming quickly. You ever gone to meet someone at the airport? When I was a kid growing up, Dad used to fly a lot. He'd always come home on the weekends. I didn't realize that's because he kept threatening his boss to quit if his boss didn't let him come home on the weekends because Dad wanted to see his family. And I was kind of impressed with that when I finally learned what was going on. But Dad would be flying back home, and this is back in the days before 9/11, and take your shoes off and all that kind of nonsense that you have to do to fly now. We could go stand right at the gate. And if you're a little kid, you can press your nose right against the window right next to the gate and watch the plane come and land and the people get off the plane. And you always want to make sure you're there early enough because you could see him. Now, this is going to date this real bad. Stepping off the stairs down the plane and across the tarmac into the building, okay? Some of y'all have never actually stood on the ground between a plane and the airport. You know, they've got those jetways now. I like in Tucson where you can see on the little video camera who's coming in to get warning that they're coming. If you want to sneak up on them, take the elevator and they'll never see you coming. The escalator, they'll see you coming down, but if you take the elevator, they'll never see you on the camera. But when you're waiting for someone, you get more and more excited. And if you really want to mess up your relative, wait for them to come and get all the way off, and then ask, they call you and say, where are you? And say, oh, I haven't left the house yet. Okay? They may not even tell you when they're coming in the next time. And so he says, I'm coming quickly. And one of the things he wants us to recognize is that we ought to live like we expect him to be coming. When we were first married, we'd have relatives come for Christmas. For some reason, we thought it was necessary to clean the house before they got there. Like we grew up with them and they weren't surprised, you know. We got ready for them to come. Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. Are we ready for him to come? These are faithful and true words that he's coming. And then they ask us to hear the prophecy of this book. Can you hear it? Can you hear him tell you he's coming? Your friend calls you and tells you they'll be over about 2 o'clock this afternoon. If he's not there by 2:15, you begin to wonder where they're at. If they're not there by 2:30, you begin to call them wondering what's going on. Because you recognize when you expect them to come, you act like you expect them to come. Hear the prophecy of this book. He is coming. And he has prepared a home for us. A beautiful, beautiful home. Where the curses have gone and the blessings have come. And it's better that it is here. When you're traveling through a place and you realize there's a problem with a motel room, you don't really care because it's not your home. You're just going to move on somewhere else because it's different when you get home. Here, the words of this book tell us that we have a home that's beautiful, prepared for us by God, that's in heaven waiting for us. And he's coming to take us there. Can we hear the words of that prophecy? That heaven is sweet, heaven is beautiful, and I can't wait to get there. Can we hear the words of the prophecy? What do you hear? Can the things you put in your ears drown out the prophecy of the book? Can you hear the stories of the Bible? The words of the prophets, the songs of the psalmists, the wisdom of the Proverbs? And if you're listening for the words of those prophets, listening for the coming soon of Jesus, are there others that you want to bring with you? Are there others that you want to take with you? When a new movie comes out, you'll see people have someone they want to take with them to go see the movie. Because they like the same kind of movies and it's fun. And so they may wait a day or two after it's there just so the right people can go with them to come. Well, what about this trip to heaven? Are there those that you want to go with you? Can you hear the call of heaven loud enough that you want to bring others with you? Our children, our grandchildren, can we hear the call of heaven loud enough that others come with us? What do you hear? Let's pray. Father, please help us to hear the call of heaven. Please help us to hear the words of the prophets, the songs of the psalmists, the wisdom of the Proverbs, that we can hear you calling. Jesus kept asking, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Father, let us hear you today. Let us hear you now. Let us hear you as you bring us along. May we hear you in our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.